Chapter 12. New Strength and Hope. That evening, Saeed went to sleep early and the Sheikh went out. Later, Rais woke us and he looked very worried. "A friend of mine works for the governor of this city," he said. "He brought me bad news. Sheikh Ali is at a celebration at the governor's house, and he told the governor lies about us. According to Sheikh Ali, you're his slaves, and I'm trying to steal you. So in the morning, the Sheikh will stop us from leaving the city." I couldn't bear this news, and I started to cry. We had come so far, and I couldn't bear to have our final hopes destroyed.
"Don't worry," said Rais. "I sent a messenger on a fast horse to inform Mr. Wilshire and Hammett. Hammett will tell the governor the truth, but we can't wait until then. The Sheikh is a cruel man, and I am afraid for your safety. We must leave immediately."
"But Saeed and the Sheikh will follow us," I said, suddenly terrified.
"Saeed's sleeping like a baby," replied Rais. "And the Sheikh isn't returning until morning. Come quickly. I've paid friends to help us, and there are camels waiting outside."
We travelled as fast as possible out of the city. On the third night of our journey, we were too exhausted to go any further. In the distance, we heard the footsteps of horses. A group of men were riding in our direction. "That's it," I thought. "This is the end. Sheikh Ali's men are here to take us back. We've suffered months of torture, only to become slaves again and die in the desert." Suddenly, I heard a familiar voice.
"Riley!"
It was Hammett. With great joy, I kissed the hand of my previous master and benefactor. He was travelling with some of Mr. Wilshire's men. One of them was holding some weapons and a bag of money.
"Are you Captain James Riley?" the man asked.
"I am," I replied, "and these are my companions." The man gave Hammett the money and two guns.
"You've kept your promise, Sidi Hammett," he said, "and Mr. Wilshire has also kept his. Now you can go in peace."
"Take your men home, Captain Riley," Hammett said. "You're a very fortunate man, and it was my pleasure to know you. I'm returning to the desert, and will search for the rest of your companions. I won't stop until I find them."
I cried with gratitude. Then I watched my friend ride away into the distance. He had shown us kindness and compassion, and tried to protect us from his cruel brother. He was a good man. With new strength and hope, we continued with Rais and Mr. Wilshire's men. In the early morning, we arrived at the city of Mogador and saw two English flags flying on ships in the harbour. It was an amazing sight. When I saw an American flag in the distance, my heart jumped with pleasure. We sat on the ground, exhausted, and cried with joy. One of Wilshire's men rode ahead quickly and returned half an hour later with a European man on a horse wearing a white hat. This was Mr. Wilshire. "I've seen him before," I thought, amazed. "Mr. Wilshire was the man in my dream." Mr. Wilshire got down from his horse and approached us in shock at our terrible condition. At this point, I weighed around 40 kilograms and looked like a skeleton. He shook our hands.
"Be brave, men," he said. "Soon you'll see your families again."
Mr. Wilshire took us to his home and cared for us until we were strong enough for our journey back to the United States. In the meantime,
I sent letters to my family and employers and arranged for them to repay him all the money he had paid for us. I owed this good man and Sidi Hamet my life. Now, 3 years have passed since our sufferings in Africa, and my four companions and I are home with our families. We've recovered completely. I left six of my men in the desert as slaves. Hamet never found these poor men, and I fear they are dead. My wife and I now have two more children, called Sidi and William, to remind us of our two remarkable friends, Sidi Hamet and William Wilshire. And this concludes my story.